The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and as we say, no manipulation, because we're not trying to con you. We're not asking you for money. We're not asking you to buy anything. We're not asking you to join anything. But we are asking you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I can do that, if impossibly I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you want to do that. That's up to you. Thank you for the next few minutes if you'll stick with me and give it to me. You can always visit our website, rickhughesministries.org. That's rickhughesministries.org. And there you'll find all the many materials that we offer free of charge, several different books we've done. And you can also listen to the radio shows again as they're cataloged under the Flatline on the website. Just click on the Flatline and you'll see all the radio shows. Click on a radio show and play anyone you want, all the way back for 15 years or so, back in the back. So thank you for tuning in this morning. It's possible you might be a first-time listener because we're adding a lot of new stations recently. Right now, I think we're up over 130 stations across America, and I'm so excited about that. I have a goal in my head that I'd like to reach, and I'm not going to tell you. I sure tell the Lord about it every day, and perhaps the Lord will let us reach that goal. So if you're a new listener, you will notice that this religious broadcast is very different from any other religious broadcast you might have heard. No shouting, no yelling, no singing, just talking, just teaching. I call this show The Flot, F-L-O-T, The Flot Line. And that's a military term for the Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T, Forward Line of Troops. In the military, this is known as a main line of resistance. The reason I use this term in my radio show is to honor my pastor who is now with the Lord. He coined this phrase many years ago in order to illustrate how God has provided problem-solving devices for Christians who are alive and living in the devil's world. That's us, me and you. My pastor singled out 10 unique doctrines or 10 unique principles that we must all understand. And not just that, but apply them daily if we hope to glorify God to the maximum. Now, I don't have time this morning to cover all 10 of those operating assets, but if you're interested, we have a free book you can order through the website or call us on the phone. It's entitled Christian Problem Solving. And it does list all 10 unique problem-solving devices. Again, the website is rickhughesministries.org, or you can call 800-831-0718. And that way you can give the order over the telephone if you'd like to. So this morning now, I'd like to talk to you and ask you a very simple question. It may sound convoluted, but it's not. It's pretty simple. Do you understand the God you know? That's the question. Do you understand the God you know? I am assuming that you've accepted Christ as your Savior. If not, you should understand that you cannot, will not, cannot ever come to God without going through Jesus Christ, His anointed Son. The Scriptures tell us in John 14:6, where Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then here it is, no man comes unto the Father but by me. There's a reason for this bold statement that the Lord Jesus Christ made, and this is because none of the individuals that are living on this earth possess the righteousness to come to God on their own. We can't do it. None of us possess the righteousness that God possesses. He's absolutely righteous. He's never sinned. There is no sin in Him, and we are sinful. So in Romans 3:10, the Bible says, as it is written, there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. So I don't care if you never cuss, if you never drink, if you never dance. You know, some people think that's a sin to go dancing. You know, if you don't ever watch an R-rated movie and you say, well, I don't sin because I don't do them bad things, you were born sinful. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 64:6 tells us, but we are all as a filthy rag, and our righteousnesses are filthy, and we fade away as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I don't have the heart to tell you what the filthy rag is in the Hebrew, but it's very nasty. And so the nicest, best thing you can do to try to impress God is nasty to Him. The only way you could ever have any relationship with a perfectly righteous God is to have equal righteousness with Him. And the only way you can have equal righteousness with God is coming through Jesus Christ. Because when we get saved, we are given the same righteousness that God has. Where does the Bible say that? In 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through Him, in Him. That's how you get it. So if you want to have a relationship with God, you've got to have equal righteousness with God. The only way to get the equal righteousness of God is to have the righteousness of Christ given to you. His righteousness is given to you. He took your sin. He gives you His righteousness. Now, assuming you're indeed a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and assuming you have accepted His sacrifice for your sin, you are now a Christian, and you are a member of God's royal family. That's a wonderful thing in John 1:12, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as your Savior, you can qualify to be a son of God or a daughter of God. All you got to do is, like it says, even to them that believe on His name. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, is what the Bible says. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Satan's very good at mixing this up and trying to confuse people and telling them steps they got to go through, hoops they got to jump, got to go forward, got to go backward, got to raise your hand, got to sit down, got to give up, got to repent, got to get baptized, everything in the world except what it says do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe He's the anointed Son of God? Do you believe He's out on the cross for you? Do you believe He walked out of that grave alive? Then go to God in prayer and tell Him, I believe and I am willing to receive Christ as my Savior. And you won't feel anything spectacular happen. You won't get a buzz. But it'll happen because God promised, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do that, let me know. I'd like to know if you ask God to save you today, because I got some free material I'd like to send you. Now, what I just told you is the greatest truth known to man, as revealed by God the Holy Spirit through the pages of the Bible. But of course, Satan seeks to confuse mankind with a counterfeit gospel message. So, you know, you've seen counterfeit dollar bills, counterfeit 50, counterfeit 100. It looks like the real thing, but it doesn't. That's what Satan does. He's a counterfeiter. Listen to 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So, a.k.a. the old devil, Satan himself is a master at distorting the message of the cross. He will always attempt to distract, always attempt to discourage any individual who seeks to know the truth. One of the tactics that he uses is to convince man that he can earn God's favor, that he can earn God's forgiveness by keeping, you know, something like the Ten Commandments or some other religious ritual. Nothing could be further from the truth. And it's for this reason that I want to address the subject I'm about to explore. The subject is understanding God. A massive subject, but let's explore what the scriptures say, starting with Jeremiah 9:24. Here it is. But let him that glory in this. And the word glory could be brag, the one that brags. Brag about this. That he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Do you understand the God you know, that he understands and knows me? That's what we're going to talk about. So let's take a look at this a little closer this morning. In this passage, we find God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, saying that he, that's God, desires that you understand him and that you know him. In this passage, he, God, that's God, lists some of his attributes that he would like for you to understand. He mentions loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So here is the first question. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand the God you know, the God of loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness? So let's start with the first characteristic mentioned, loving kindness. In 1 John 4:16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. There it is stated plainly. And he that dwells in love dwelleth in God and God in him. God is love. And God does love us. In regards to his kindness, the word kindness, listen to what God told Israel, whom he was going to restore. He promised he would restore him. Listen to this. Isaiah 54:8, in a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And again in Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. His loving kindness, you cannot never lose that. God loves you, and he will be very kind to you. Kindness, what does that mean, being kind? It means being generous, being considerate. Add to that characteristic love, loving kindness, and you have a wonderful picture of God's mercy on you and I. God loves us. Remember the verse, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God loves us. And he gave us his kindness by letting someone else die in our place. No one ever has to go to the lake of fire. No one. It was not prepared for humans. It was prepared for Satan and the fallen angels. God sent a way out for you and me, and that's to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So please think about that. In eternity past, let me give you this principle here. In eternity past, God knew every sin we were going to commit, every last one of them. And his love has not changed or diminished by knowing all of our failures. Here's a simple statement. We do not have the power to diminish the love of God. We do not have the power to turn off or diminish the love of God. See, if he knew about you in eternity past before you were even conceived, that's what he is. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Then God loved you then with loving kindness. And he loves you now. And you can't make him not love you, even though you may do some pretty dumb, stupid, nasty things. That loving kindness was best demonstrated in Romans 5:8. You want to hear it? In Romans 5:8, but God commended his love, there it is, his loving kindness. He commended his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he didn't have to wait till we accepted Christ to love us. He loves us now. His loving kindness is extended to you in eternity past. In his loving kindness, God has given you a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. My grandchildren have birthdays all the time. We all have to come up with a gift, usually some cash money for them. You can't buy them enough toys. They're not interested. So we give them some money. You may do the same thing. But in God's loving kindness, he gave me and he gave you a gift. Listen to Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, there it is, the gift from God. What's the gift? The gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a gift that I can live forever. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. The old things are passed away. What a gift. And I don't have to earn it. I don't have to deserve it. I don't have to buy it. It's already been paid for. and it's free. This love for lost mankind was based on God's character, not on ours. Thus, it was an impersonal type love. Impersonal, not personal, impersonal. What does that mean? It means he loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. He loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. Once a lost man receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, obviously that love becomes personal because he now has equal righteousness with God. Once he has that equal righteousness, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he has made him to be sin," I told you this verse already, "for he has made him to be sin for us, the one who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." Now, once lost man receives that righteousness, then God has a personal love for him. He's a member of the royal family. Now, there's two more characteristics we're going to talk about, judgment and righteousness. Judgment and righteousness. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 4:5. Here's what the Bible says about judging. "Therefore, judge nothing." There's a monkey in Africa that has a real long nose. It's called the proboscis monkey. That's what some Christians have, a real long nose, and stick their nose where it's none of their business. And then they malign, criticize, and judge other Christians, or even unbelievers. This verse says, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes." And when he comes, it says, "Who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then every man will praise God." So God is not going to permit anybody to take his place in judging other people or evaluating other believers. If it was up to you, you'd probably say, "That person doesn't deserve to go to heaven. That person, look what they've done." And listen, our institutions, and penal institutions especially, are full of phenomenal Christian men and women who've made a terrible mistake, terrible thing they did, but they've got saved, God's forgiven them for their sin, and they're doing wonderful and learning God, growing in God's Word. I have a wonderful friend who has Philippi Ministries, and through Philippi Ministries, many of them are learning the Bible and getting free Bible courses. So judge not that you be not judged. Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2 says this, "Don't judge, or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge other people, you're going to be judged. And with the measure you measure, it'll be given back to you again." So when you stick your nose in someone else's business, you're violating the first commandment, don't judge. That's a sin. That's a sin. God is the only one that can do the judging, not you and not me. He's judgment. He's righteousness and judgment. And so we don't judge other people. "And with the measure you measure, it'll be measured back to you again." So if you judge someone and say, "You know what, they ought to do this, they ought to do that. If I was God, this is what I would do. If I was a judge, this is what I would do." And all you're doing is pronouncing the judgment you're going to get yourself. Why? Because you couldn't keep your mouth shut because you stuck your nose in somebody else's business. Now, there are some judgments taught in the Scriptures. The first one I'll tell you about is the judgment seat of Christ. Only Christians will be here, not unbelievers, just Christians. And that's taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there you'll find the story about the wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones. And how we'll all sit before God and be judged, and our wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. And the gold, silver, and precious stones will last, and we'll get a reward. The wood, hay, and stubble is the good things you did in a wrong way. Human good. It's not rewardable. All the times you prayed with known sin in your life, not rewardable. All the times you gave money with known sin in your life, not rewardable. Because you were quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit when you did it. And all the times you prayed when you were in fellowship, filled with the Holy Spirit. All the times that you gave money when you were in fellowship, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you're going to be rewarded. That's God's wonderful grace to you. So keep that in mind. The first judgment is the judgment for believers. The second judgment is only unbelievers will be there. Not you if you're a Christian. You won't be there. This judgment is called the Great White Throne of Judgment, and it's taught in Revelation 20, verse 11. So the first judgment is for Christians only, and the second judgment is for unbelievers only. 1 Corinthians 3 is an evaluation of divine good production, and the Revelation passage is based on the unbeliever's rejection of God's free gift of forgiveness through Christ our Lord. It's coming, and both of those judgments are real, and the justice of God will act accordingly at each one of those. The next characteristic mentioned in Jeremiah 9:24 was his righteousness. He wants us to understand his loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness. So let's get a couple of principles here. I think you can understand this. The love of God is composed of his perfect justice and righteousness. That's why we have those three things there. The love of God is composed of his perfect justice and righteousness. Two, God cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness. And he is perfect righteousness. And you are too through Jesus Christ. So God cannot accept anything less than perfect righteousness, and he cannot bless anything less than perfect righteousness. Three, therefore the justice of God is only free to bless where God's perfect righteousness resides. And this is why divine righteousness is the very first thing you're given when you get saved. And the very first thing that God judges and blesses you with is eternal life, the free gift of God. Four, all unbelievers, non-Christians, depend on their own self-righteousness to somehow get them into heaven. And unfortunately, it will not work. Five, God's righteousness means that he's absolutely perfect in his essence. He's free of sin, and he's morally justifiable in everything he does. And point six, what the righteousness of God rejects, the justice of God will judge. Now, let's look at that verse one more time. Jeremiah 9:24. Let him that glory in this. Let him that brag about this. Don't brag about how much money you made. Don't brag about what a beautiful home you have. Don't brag about how beautiful your children are. Don't brag about anything except this, that you understand and know me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For it's in these things I delight, saith the Lord. When God said these things he delights, it means he's well pleased with you, if indeed you understand these three things. That's what God is looking for, somebody that understands these three things and can live by those concepts. Okay? God said it, in these things he delights, meaning he's well pleased if you understand it. Two, to glorify means to brag. Don't brag about your exploits, but brag about God's loving kindness, God's justice, and God's righteousness. And you cannot talk about what you don't know, can you? Thus the need to understand the God you know in order that you do not misrepresent him. And that is the number one sin today. Social media theologians, be careful of these people. The bad ones, they misrepresent God unbelievably. The more evil they are, the more often their social media graphics will play. And I turn on Facebook or I turn on Instagram and I see it over and over and over again. Misrepresentation of God. Number one sin today. If you're a Christian, you better know what you're talking about, because God's not going to allow you to misrepresent him and get away with it. So let me give you a modified translation here. Jeremiah 9:24. If they want to brag, they should brag that they understand and know me. They should brag that I, the Lord, act out of loving righteousness and justice on the earth. This kind of bragging pleases me, declares the Lord. If you are indeed a child of God through your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross, followed by his resurrection, then I would bet you belong to a church. And if you do belong and go, how could you possibly worship a God you don't understand? That's impossible. True worship is not simple emotional feelings that are brought about by stirring music, but rather thought or concentration on God's character and God's essence. And his essence includes much more than those three things we discussed. It also includes eternal life. It includes his immutability. He cannot lie. He cannot change. It includes his sovereignty. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It includes his omniscience, his all-knowing. It includes his omnipotence, his all-power. And it includes his omnipresence. He's wherever you are, he's there. I get tickled at people that say, God was here tonight. God was here tonight. In our church service, you can feel God. God was here tonight. I got news for you. God was here last night, too. And he'll be here tomorrow night because he's everywhere. He is omnipresent. His plans for us as we travel through this time continuum, which you live in today, includes operating assets such as a Bible, a pastor, and certainly the Holy Spirit. If you don't understand this plan, you will wind up doing all the right things but in the wrong way, and that's called human good. This is why we try to teach you the 10 problem-solving devices, so we can use your operating assets and glorify God to the maximum. So I hope you will go online or call us, rickhughesministries.org. or 800-831-0718 and order our new book on the Christian spiritual life. The Christian spiritual life. And it will explain all of these things to you. It's a free book like all of our material. We love to give it to you free of charge. We operate that way free of charge. We believe as long as God's in it, he will pay for it. So we don't have to go around asking people for money. We depend on God to motivate individuals to give. Certainly we do. But we certainly don't want to ask anybody for anything. We got a need, we go to the Father and ask him. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to hear it again, go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and click on the Flatline, and you can listen to it again. Or you can contact us, and we'll send you the transcript. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.